call me a problem. I am not the problem. I have never left my country, nor have I ceded any part of it.
Let's talk. Triple A's flagship program that continues to elevate the diverse voices of First Nations people across the country. Centered around the unceded sovereignty of First Nations people in this country, honouring the history with a solutions-based focus on the future. With your host, Pomeroy journalist, Danny Tierce Johnson.
Yama yama, hello and welcome to Let's Talk. I'm your host, Danny Tierce Johnson, Pomeroy boy from Moree in New South Wales. I'd just like to start the show by acknowledging country. I start by acknowledging the traditional owners from the lands that we broadcast from, and I'd like to pay my respect to the elders past and present, and I extend that greeting all across this beautiful black nation today, particularly up to the Larrakia Nation, where my guest is deeply entrenched up there.
What are you going to sing, darling?
Today I'll be singing I Have Nothing by Whitney Houston.
Oh, yeah. Take your time, because we're here just to hear you, okay?
That's a big, big song.
All right. Well, don't make me close. So don't walk away from me. I have nothing, nothing, nothing. If I don't,
Jessica Hilda Malboy, I love that little name, Hilda, is a well-famous artist, singer and presenter. She rose to fame back in 2006, born and raised in Darwin. She rose to fame with a little show called Australian Idol. I remember that, it was a while ago now. But some may say that she actually rose to fame before that on the Telstra Road to Tamworth. Mm-hmm. Hey, I've done my research. Sister Jessica has written beautiful ballads that have saved many a black broken heart over the years. Shout out Emily. And she joins us here today because Jessica has trusts in the power of self on a catchy new single, Automatic. She co-wrote the song with Cosmos Midnight and Aston. Jess, welcome to the show. Ta-da.
Thank you for having me, brother. Oh, my goodness. I'm so excited to be here and on country here. So, thank you again. You know, I'm a very proud Kukunyalanji and Wakaman woman, born on Larrakia Nation up there in the NT. So, yeah, representing and, I'm so glad to be here to be able to be on with you today.
Yeah, no, thanks for coming into AAA Murray Country. All our mob here love it when our artists come in because, you know, yous are our storytellers and yous tell the songs of our lives and, you know, your lives as well. So we really appreciate it, sis.
Thank you.
So with that, let's have a yarn about Automatic. Mm.
Yes,
tell
please.
Us about it. It's a story of self, jumping in the driver's seat, taking control of your life.
Yeah, and it's definitely obviously a modern twist in terms of production and I guess just energy-wise too. You know, again, growing up in Larrakia Nation and up, you know, in the NT and all throughout the lands there, you know, water, tropical, salt water, fresh water, and just extends the freedom up there. And I just feel like, you know, if I can write music that, you know, represents that energy and be able to take it everywhere and be able to lift, you know, and be able to have somebody else possess that, then I'm doing my job right, you know. Yeah. Automatic really is about self-reflection. It is about, you know, coming from, I guess, that base of, like, you know, you've had that hardship. Now it's time to take control and, you know, in all aspects of life. Mm. Whether that be personal, in your home, under your roof, when you step outside that door, when you enter public, when you are in your workplace, you know, it's just identifying with who you are, you know. And I always go back to, you know, Mum always used to say, you know, remember who you are and where you come from, and then you'll have no problem. And so that's kind of what I always try to put in my music, and also just representation of me, just you know, everywhere and anywhere, wherever I am, whether it's sitting in a car, it's just like having that reflection of like, yeah, I'm good where I feel lucky, I feel grateful, but I'm also, you know, there's still work to be done, you know. But yeah, it's been interesting, I guess, being in the music industry when you are in two worlds, you know, because I love going home and doing, you know, all the activities on country, you know, going hunting, going like fishing, and, you know, hanging out with mob, and, you know, yarning, and, you know, having elders tell stories and where they're from, you know. Yeah, and I think that, you know, that definitely keeps me in check, and it is about keeping grounding for me, so that I'm able to then, when I do go away, I still have those present in my system, and I can just slowly, slowly release it as I go. But always, yeah, keep it really close to my heart.
Mm. How important is it to self-reflect and check in on yourself?
I
can't imagine, yes, for you, like, you know, you're a world famous star, Jess.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's
pushed
wild
and pulled, and you get so many. You have to do so many things.
And I think that's the thing that I forget about. You know, I think having been out there in the public for such a long time, I mean, I started, you know, going back to, yes, Idol day, people would know me from Idol, but then before Idol, I started singing country music, and people remember me from busking.
Yeah.
You know, at the age of 11, and then 14, I, you know, went on, you know, that Tamworth, yeah, it was like the Telstra Road to Tamworth, yeah, at the time, and I won that.
Darwin's own Jessica Mulbard voted the inaugural Telstra Road the Tamworth winner.
Yeah, it was just a moment, like little steps of moments of like building myself, but building myself in the sense of like I already knew who I was. So everything just fell into place after that. The people that I met along the way, how I began to kind of my work ethic, how I kind of situated in, you know, presence before I got onto it, went in to do the performance, or mm-hmm, before I, you know, started writing the song, or before I met someone. So I think from there, kind of, luckily, I was already instilled, you know, from growing up on country and being surrounded by family and uncles and aunties and elders and cousins and just mob in general, you know, my community, set me up, really set me up, set the tone of who I was going to be, you know, the extension of who Jessica Mulbard is going to be, yeah, you know, a quote, you know.
Tell me about Boss Lady Energy.
Boss Lady Energy. Boss Lady Energy is like,
The Boss Lady Tour.
Yes, so obviously came, you know, was born from a song that I'd written with some really, really good friends in Sydney at the time. Sam Sakar was a producer. We had two songwriters, Isabel Kearney and I Am Mookie, and Maddie Crabtree. And, yeah, so these mob I got to work with. It was the first time of just experiencing writing with different people. Mm-hmm. And they were young and fresh and also had a whole different kind of attitude and the way that they looked at music. And I really enjoyed that. So, you know, I guess, you know, being solid and coming into a room with, like, people I've never worked with before, it was a little bit, you know, I was off, you know, on edge and, like, you know, how are we going to relate here? But, you know, it worked out really nicely. We wrote a song called Boss Lady, and the lyrics are is all about, you know, when someone tries to put you down, and like they try all kinds of different ways to get you to, you know, to for you to eat at your heart, you know. Yeah, and there's that thing, and
doubt yourself
and you know, and confuse yourself,
that little voice,
yes, always. And it's not your voice, no, but it's somebody else's thoughts and their feelings, and I know that we do that. We naturally absorb as humans, as people, we spiritually we do that, because that's kind of, you know, where we've come from. And I just knew that, you know, not being able to take those things to heart and take that on board in what I wanted to produce and who I wanted to be was going to be the key. So, I guess, you know, that's when writing comes into play and you let all those stories loose. And that's where Boss Lady Energy came from, was like, well, I'm not gonna stand for it. I'm gonna write it. And that's going to be that energy. I'm going to like spread that energy of like, I got a handle on my things,
yeah,
and I'm in check, and, you know, and hopefully that rubs off, and, you know, you can, you know, check in with yourself, you know. Yeah. So, and like what we were talking about before, I think acknowledging those feelings and acknowledging, you know, certain situations of pain and confusion. Like, it's really important to sit there, to look at yourself in the mirror. I know it can seem really scary sometimes. And, you know, when you do look into your eyes and that depth of like, whoa, I see you, it can be really confronting. But at the same time, it's such a positive thing, because it's about healing too. You're seeing yourself, you're tracing all aspects of who you are from a physical.
And healing's the hardest thing we can do.
Healing is the hardest thing we can do.
Because
absolutely.
Like you said, Jess, we have to look in the mirror.
We have to look
in. We have to self-reflect, and that's really hard for some people.
So hard, you know. And it took me a while. Like, I remember when I was working with Leah Purcell and we were doing Secret Daughter, and she was with me the whole time. And, you know, you're working with a big, we're working with a big production company. They don't come from a community. They've never kind of experienced, you know, that, you know, that story and that way of life. And, you know, it was just so good to have, another sister on ground and like a mother figure too, you know. So she taught me a lot, and she was someone that gave me that tool. She was like, look, sis, I'm going to tell you. Yeah, she gave me that. She gave me that power. And I remember going back to my little apartment, looking at myself. So I'd done like 13 hours of filming and got home, and I was really vulnerable. And I remember just looking into the mirror and looking deep in my eyes, and I started bawling. And it was just all feelings. It wasn't just because it was a hard day and, I'd filmed 13 hours, but just all things like missing family, being in a different city or, a different country and trying to just, place myself back together to be like, okay, I've thought through all these things. Now I gotta love all of those things.
Yeah.
So it's about love. I think when you can, unravel all of those things, sift through those things, then put them back with love,
It's hard when you're traveling and you're constantly away from country and your friends and your family, because you do feel like your spirit's getting stretched a bit.
Yep.
And that's exhausting.
That's exactly what it is.
And I totally understand, because I've done it before too. Mm. You look in the mirror and you purge, you cry, because it's not just one thing. It's probably a combination of 10 years of things, really.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, there's a whole build-up. And again, because we absorb other energies and other stories, like, we got to understand what they mean to us now, moving forward.
Darwin wet season's going to roll in.
Ooh, look out. Monsoon.
Can we just go back to the film clip? Talk about standing in your power.
Yes.
The film clip for Automatic. I really love it because, we're saying off air before, it's just, I grew up out west too, and so the culture of motorbikes and quad bikes with your family and riding around out west on country, that total freedom.
Yeah.
But it's also so powerful and empowering, the clip and the way he's all staunchly dressed as well. Can you just tell about the making of that clip and I guess the idea around the narrative?
Absolutely, yeah. So when I'd finished writing with Aston and Cosmos Midnight, we pretty much spent the rest, like half a day writing it, and we'd finished it, and the rest of the day, the question came up, and Cos, you reckon, so what do you feel? What's the energy, because we've created the energy and, but what is it visually that, you dream of when you see this or when you hear the song? And I instantly went back to I could just see myself out on, hunting out on quad bike with family and, bush bashing in dad's, Toyota ute and not trying to fall off, the back of the trail. It's just wildness, It's things that, would get in trouble, when you're in the big city. And because there was so much freedom, so much land and, and in that respect, absorbing that energy and wanting to kind of place that sense in a modern time, what would that look like in a modern way, with the gear, with the armor, so you're coming ready with your armor, with who you are, your strength, and you have everything in check that you're ready to step outside that door and be like, world, I'm ready, come at me, and let's do this, and that's the energy of the song. And I just imagined it being like attitude, like how we are. We get we're rev heads, when we're out in open country and it's wild and it's like, if we conk out or the bike falls over or we get stuck and someone's got to wedge us out. Like, it's just all of that.
McKinney's
yes,
play,
exactly. Yeah. So I wanted a sense of like being you know, been out with Mob, and like that's what we do. We, you know, we congregate and we're out there in this open space, and we're just enjoying the scenery and quietness and in this loud open space. You know, the birds are going, the water's running, you know, the breeze is ruffling through the trees, and you're just sitting there, and it's like, yeah, it's like an audience applauding out there. You know, it's that feel.
I do. I know exactly how it feels. Must have been such a fun clip for you to make, because it's so, quite different from what you've done before in terms of, you know, videos.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So it must have been just really fun for you to make, right?
Yeah, it was, you know, and I think just writing a song like Automatic was fun. The way that I collaborated, the people that I brought together to, I guess, make it come to life, you know, the energy that, you know, came with it. I just knew I had to, I wanted to go big with it. I want to go fun. Yeah. I wanted, like, nothing too serious, but I wanted it to be sexy. I wanted to kind of, you know, feel myself, you know, as, you know, as a proud woman in this country. And level up in the sense of, like, you know, creativity and, you know, the way that my hair was, you know, got the right person to do my hair, or the right person to do my makeup, or right person to style me, to accentuate my curves. You know, I just wanted to feel like full in that sense of
standing completely
in my power. That's it, brother. Exactly.
I love it. I'm getting goosebumps. Hey,
let's go.
Hey, one thing I want to ask you about is your songwriting, and your processes for songwriting.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people out there take it for granted that just how hard it is to write a song.
Yeah.
And also put yourself out there in terms of the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
Collaborating with Cosmos Midnight and Sophie Curtis.
Yeah.
And those all these sorts of people that you've done over the years.
Mm-hmm.
How do you keep your story real and true?
It's definitely important, and I feel like I've always been like a very specific pop writer. Mm-hmm. I tend to think of myself as, like, you know, being able to paint the picture, but then there's also the underlayer. So if you can bring an underlayer of feeling of, like, what, giving the person a sense of interpretation to themselves. So for me, I love to write in a third person. So I'm still connected, but I'm also an overseeing, you know, I'm kind of like bird's eye view type of writer, where I can see it on the paper, but I'm having an outside body experience of like, yo, so Jess would do this. Jess would, you know, she would say this. And so, yeah, I'm almost like, I'm dangling my puppet, if that I don't know if that makes sense, but yeah, I'm dangling myself in front of this space and this place where you are able to do that in pop culture, and it's such an interesting way of looking at it. But I don't know, it gives me so much sense of knowing, I guess, you know, when I'm having that outside of body experience. But yeah, my process is purely I sometimes see it. So I have a very photographic memory, and if I can take that picture and then take it into the studio and be like, well, this is what I saw in it, and I saw the quad bike, I saw the ute, I saw, you know, the pandanus trees, I saw you know, I saw that particular dirt.
You're painting a canvas.
So just like, you know, a painter, I feel like that's how I write. So I take the image, I place it into the space of collaboration, and then it becomes an interpretation then of, if that makes sense, of
it does.
Me, the puppet.
Yeah. So I do a bit of writing, and you write in the first, second, or third person.
Yes, yeah. So
and sometimes I write through another person's eyes.
Yes, I love writing through another person's eyes. Like my mum, when I wrote Little Things, I make big things out of little things, and I watch you keep missing them. I saw my mum, so me playing my mum in the music video was I guess, being able to share a whole different light, which was really hard. That was probably my hardest moment in terms of songwriting and the physical world of creating a music video. And I was probably not the most lowest, but the most the most open I've ever been in terms of writing, and the most naked I've ever felt in terms of the...
It's very vulnerable. Yeah,
so vulnerable. And I just remember, you know, I was even scared to even write about Mum because that's her own story, you know. And so I've respected that. I remember when I wrote it, I had to call her straight away and I was like, Mum, I don't know how you're going to feel about this, but I've literally written a song about you and your experience and the first time I'd ever seen you, your most lowest and your most vulnerable. Like, can I share it with you? And I remember, like, I was, like, bawling my eyes out while I was trying to explain to her. And it was just really seeing this incredible, strong woman, but yet at her weakest point in her life. And I remember just bawling my eyes out and just saying how much and how important seeing you in that space meant to me, because that gave me a lot of strength. So at any point of my life where I felt my lowest, I think of you and I think, oh, I can come back. Yeah. You know, I can come back. I'll always know how to come back because she taught me those tools, how to use those tools of feeling and acknowledgement, and also, you know, to acknowledge that, but also continue to move on. You know, move with whatever the feeling and this and whatever your instincts are telling you to do.
Yeah,
you know, and it was writing like that kind of. It took me to a whole nother level, and it takes years, I feel, you know, when you get to a point when you know, there's nothing like it.
Yes.
And I've never written anything like it. And that's when it becomes like an iconic moment for you individual, you know, yourself.
You know in your soul.
You know in your soul.
You know in your own soul.
Yeah.
How's it feel for you? Like, you wrote some amazing ballads over the years.
Mm-hmm.
But it was actually Emily that said a comment to me this morning that, you know, that, and I wrote it in the intro, that you've saved many a black broken heart.
Yeah.
When you hear, I guess, the people who love your music, mm-hmm. and really resonate with your songwriting, when you hear that, the impact your music has on people's broken hearts. How does that feel for you?
Yeah, I'm going to cry, look.
Because it's such a beautiful, I wouldn't say skill, but it's a beautiful characteristic that you have. And it's obviously been passed down to you. You know, you talk so beautifully about your mother. You've got this healing power in your music. And it saves people, Jess.
Yeah, I think we all know, like, when we're in our most vulnerable state, like, what that feeling is. And I think at such a young age, like, you know, seeing both of my parents, the way that they were towards each other, I mean, so much love, so much passion, but so much anger as well and rage. And, you know, growing up the way that they did, I guess, made us very kind of worldly of how situations in life can be. And, you know, Dad growing up in a village in Indonesia, you know, and having to, you know, get water from the well, you know, 500 meters away to then take it home, or, you know, trade for feed, trade animals to, like, you know, to eat, to put food on the table. And that was, like, you know, Mum too, you know.
It's not that long ago.
Yeah, not that long ago either, you know. And Mum too, like, never, you know, never being able to be taught by her own parents. I think that was, it puts everything in perspective of how you are going to be as a human in this life. Mm-hmm. And so I think for me it was already stories and songs that were being created, even though I didn't know and I didn't understand them. But I knew at the age of 11, I just remember that moment where I expressed that in little things, and that picture that I paint in the music video. I remember, I don't understand this, I don't know what this is, but I'm willing to give it a go, and whatever sacrifices I have to make along the way, I will fight for those, and I will acknowledge them in a way that is going to help me continue to do what I love. And it was from that moment that I thought, to gift that to somebody else, for them to open up and to understand themselves or give them clarity on life, just by a song or a lyric, or the melody within the song, which turns into a lyric, and seeing that transform and right in front of me, watching them having to explore their own world, that's when I knew how important music was going to be. And, you know, singing at a pub and, you know, you have like, you see all these, you know, all the mob, you know, having a drink, having a, and then all of a sudden I start singing and, you know, their head turns around and they're just engaged. And you know, I think watching that made me go, I'm going to be doing this for a long time. I'm, you know, and whatever's going on in someone's life, they might start crying because of their own situations in their life. And I've seen that, you know, in some of the performances, or when they're just passionately shouting out the words. And that, yeah, that brings me so much. It's so rewarding. It's really rewarding when someone is able to release in the moment, you know, or in private. And then I get to hear it later on, or they send me a letter, or, you know, they comment on a picture these days. You know, it's all online, social media now. So, like, everyone writes to you with their words in the social world.
In the bubble.
In the bubble, yeah.
Well, I hope you get some healing out of it, because you pass on so much healing.
Thank you.
Thank you for being so open with us. And
Thank you.
You're beautiful, Jess. Can we have a laugh for a second?
Yeah.
I just want to, I'll take a few minutes. We've got a couple more minutes, do we? Just looking at the, looking at the managers out there. But one thing I laugh about you, right?
And we're blackfellas. Shut up, don't be stupid now. Oh, no.
Because I love the whole paparazzi yarn. Exhibit A, Jessica Hilda Mowboy.
Shut the gate. No, I'm looking at this picture, okay, that's first picture.
I just wonder how it is for you, because you're still a sister girl.
True, yeah.
And then you get all these, like, you know, wedding bells for Jessica Mowboy. Here's the headlines, ready?
All the time, come on, then.
Jessica Mowboy shows off her salon fresh new hairdo and oversized trench coat after stepping out of hairdresser in Sydney's Clovelly.
Stop it. Oi, true. I don't even know way. Like, I walk outside that salon and then this fella, he's got no shoes on. Like, he just come from the water.
No,
nothing. I was like, how? This person got core, must be. And just wanted to get that first shot. He wanted to get first dibs. So he must have ran from the beach, got into his car and was like, oh, all right, and obviously had his camera in his car already, but I was laughing because he was real barefoot. And I reckon, where did this Malaga come from, you know? Like, can't be. Just to get that one shot look.
Just the descriptions they write too.
I know. I can't handle it. But, yeah, like, I think the one that gets me all the time is, like, you know, like, they'll get me somewhere exotic, and they'll be like, oh, she's planning her wedding. I'm like, no, I'm just, like, visiting family, please. Oh, my God, true.
She's at Mindle Beach.
I'm at Mindle Beach. I'm having, like, chicken satay and, like,
but, I just thought of all your Darwin mob, particularly Benny Gratz and all their mob up there, and Jonathan B.P. Jeffrey and all the mob would appreciate Prince. All this fun. She covered up in an oversized trench coat in a pale fabric, along with black buttons, which she wore open. Like, where do they come up with this stuff, Jess?
Real detailed, please. Got to be dramatic. Yes, it's always dramaticness with them. Well, I can't deal. But yeah, I always take a laugh because they always try to get me with my fella. Family, who's Greek background.
Yeah.
Grew up in Darwin too.
Gotta say,
Darwin
the
boys.
Of well. Darwin.
Yo, no. Calimians there. Yeah. Kalinos Island there. but it cracks me up because they always try to get that, you know, that romantic shot. Oh, and sometimes my fella will be like, see that big, you know, so I'll tell him, oh, there's camera there. And he's like, where? How can you spot it? And I reckon, there, look, eagle eyeing, big, big black barreled over there. And he'll look, and I'm like, I told you, don't look. And there's a shot online where he's like, there's always a shot where he's, so I've tried to, like, I guess collect all of these photos of him, like the ones that I tell him not to look and he's looked. And, like, I have, like, a collection, like a whole file of him looking, and he's like, you know, he's real dumbfounded face. So I'm like, poor Malaga, you don't deserve it. But anyway, he's like, I can't deal.
All right, we've got to wrap it up, Jess. Yes. You've got a very, very busy schedule. But thanks for so much for coming
Thank
in today.
You.
Thanks for being open, raw and honest with us.
Absolutely.
And,
yeah,
you know, this goes
down
out to all the Black Nation out there that have listened to this interview. So we thank you for your time. We thank you for your new single, your mob. Go Spotify,
well,
Apple.
Everyone listening to, I just want to say big love to you, mob. And, thank you for always your support. And, I guess that's the thing. We all got to, like, look after each other and support each other at the end of the day and build each other up, you know, whatever achievement it is, you know, just building each other up is really important. So, no, I just want to say thank you. And without you, Mob, I wouldn't be, you know, doing what I do and what I love. And, yeah, that's because of you, Mob. So thank you.
You're as warm as a Darwin sunset, Jess. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to AAA Murray Country.
story of power and pride. British Lord Vesty and Vincent Glengarry were opposite men on opposite sides. Vesty was fat with money and muscle. Beef was his business, broad was his door. Vincent was lean and spoke very little. He had no bank balance, her debt was his floor. From little things, big things grow. 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 Little things.
My name is Vincent Lindyari. Land belongs to me. The land right.
Glengarry Commander Pampuntawia Palumpangura Pirun Pakwia Vesti to Pirukurtu Wankanyi Vincent Mani Munodalas Unkunjiki Django.
From little things, big things grow. From
appeared in the land, and he came with lawyers, and he came with great ceremony, and through Vincent's fingers poured a handful of sand. That was the story of Vincent Glengarry. But this is the story of something much more. How power and privilege cannot move
sitting there.